been the same since.
Well, I didn't know there was Hitman at Silk Road. I thought it was
everything was. No, no, there was everything on Silk Road. Yeah.
Did you use Silk Road?
Sure. Yeah.
Only for Hitman.
No, not for drugs. Not for drugs. I do drugs.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams. Coming in every week, fighting the good fight, doing this podcast despite illness. That's about it, really, actually, at the moment. It's mainly illness. It's mainly a lot of illness, Northern Hemisphere, first world problems. And, you know, for our American listeners, it's the end of the world as we know it. And we feel okay.
Lukewarm.
Just lukewarm, yeah. I was about to say fine. I was like, I can't even bring myself to complete the REM joke because it's fine would be an overstatement. I think we're feeling what we're feeling.
Dudes. I'm keeping an eye on the Dolphins. See if they suddenly reduce their numbers.
Yeah. I guess a lot has happened. A lot hasn't happened. And as observed already in the chat, 12 minutes delay, no Niall, no guest. Might as well skip the show. astute viewers will have worked out that for once we were actually all punctual.
We've been sitting here for 12 minutes.
We were merely actually going, who sent the link? No, joking aside. Can everybody remember, like, in 2022, were we any more organized? You know, when things were more green, were we more organized, or have we always been this disorganized? I think we've always been this disorganized.
I think we basked in the disorganization back then. We reveled in it, and now it feels kind of embarrassing.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe you have to knuckle down and have things more shipshape. When times are tough. Well, also when times are increasingly just becoming stable coins, right?
Yeah, no shit, right?
It's all just like I look into my future and I see basically stable coins and what's that stupid ass eigenlayer stuff?
More just, interconnectivity of stable coins?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's like a difference between IBC, which is like connecting things, and just like, homogenize everything into one big blob. That would be cool.
Our moderator is here. Our moderator, Rama, who has a little wrench icon. More green. Sir, my portfolio has never been more green. Not quite true, but it's more green than 2223. Mine too, actually. And things aren't bad, right? I mean, they're not. This is pretty steady state. Like, this is pretty decent.
I guess the thing is, like, green in the context of so ironically, as an individual, right, I have like some long hold random crypto from a very long time ago. Atom, Ethereum, blah, blah, blah. Quite just knocking around. Not big numbers, but just a little bit. And that's quite green, actually. So fair point. It's just that as a company, everything that we were holding was all in the Cosmos. And that is not green.
No, that mostly not.
So, there's that. Anyway, we were going to talk to Skip about the Cosmos, but that's...
Well, according to Rama, Skip ditched us for being on an X space.
I mean, they're really celebrities now. You know, we knew them when they were small and like unknown, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of smelled funny and all that kind of stuff. And now they got Lambos. They're driving around in that. They got that ICF money just fucking falling out of their pockets. No time for our bullshit, right?
Gonna wait in the lobby for the limo.
That's exactly right. We go wait in the lobby for the limo.
Hey, look, you know, friend of the show, Artifact, has predicted and said, hold me to it, that 2025 is going to be up only. Actually, I think it was Porkachu that said that. But many friends of the show who doesn't, this is not financial advice and doesn't mean anything, but have said it's going to be a good year, which means that we are only ever one more roll of the dice as validators from also waiting for the limbo.
The limo Lambo.
Limbo sounds about right, though.
What if?
For one roll of the dice away from limbo, boys. Purgatory.
I think limbo is where we've been since 2022, and it's not been a fun experience. But I'm not gonna get the banner up, but it's we've obviously just filed tax returns and stuff, because then the tax year here is like around now. And when Juno went up to 50 cents, we sold some of our we sold some liquid Juno that we still had, some staking rewards and stuff. Shout out to Bendy, actually, who's in the chat. He's like, sent us a message being like, have you seen what's going on? Sell. Good advice. Very good advice. That was financial advice, and it was good. But then, like, we had to have the conversation with the accountants being like, oh, by the way, just so you know, like, when next year's return rolls around, we actually did sell some of those. And they were like, oh, yeah. Wow, you've realized a massive loss. They just, because they've got it on their thing, they just looked at it and they're like, oh, you did sell, you the business did sell, it's better to have that loss on the books, I guess. You're just like, yeah, we're legends, smashed it, lads. But yeah, speaking of the amorphous blob, I watched the film.
Royalty has arrived. Yes, let's make them wait in the lobby now.
Or we can proceed directly to the film chat. Also, I just want to say, Rama's comment, business is bankrupt, personally rich AF.
Mm.
That's almost a drill tweet. That's almost a drill tweet. That's amazing.
That's the way you want to run, though.
Yeah.
That's how you keep the taxes down, baby.
is this just the energy of America right now? Business is bankrupt, personally rich as fuck. Is that your president? Kind of sounds like
Mags gives a wow in the private chat. All right, I'm letting him in. There he is. Are you too all good right. for us now? What'd you have to do? You had to do something?
No, I was just goal posting Cosmos. My job. it gets me distracted.
My goodness. Look at you. How was things, man? It's good to see you.
Things are good.
Did you happen to like walk into a huge volcano at some point in late December, early January? Like with this, did you know what you were getting into? And is it more or less than you thought?
But by getting into it with the acquisition,
no, the weather.
Yeah, you're coming in hot.
Yeah, the acquisition.
Well, the weather is very cold right now.
It is.
So, I think we had some idea. We knew that there was some years of dysfunction that we had to fix and reverse trends, and we're doing that, but it's taking a lot of work, huge amount of work.
Yeah, I bet. Sorry for the tough question right off the bat. I was just kind of
it's okay. Actually
kind of kidding around, but
it's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh man, that's great. So yeah, so Magnus is here. So what's your role now? What's your official title at ICF?
So technically, I'm not at the ICF, right? So one of the ways that this went down was basically Skip was acquired by the ICF.
Okay.
And what was formed out of that was the ICL, which is Interchain Labs, which is a US-based entity that basically hosts, it does everything. It does all of the Cosmos development, it does hub stuff, it does all of Skip's previous products. It's this much larger company that is essentially tasked with growing Cosmos at all cost. And the ICF no longer has any operational capacity. It used to try to do a couple of these things, but now it's all the people who basically did anything except serve as a board member have moved into the ICL with us. And the ICF is basically in charge, primarily just funding the ICL.
So how many people did you pick up then as a part of that? How big did the ICL grow from the Skip days?
So most of the people did not move over. Okay. And were let go.
There wasn't much operations there, basically, right? Is that what you're saying, basically?
There was, I think, about 20 people-ish.
Oh, okay.
And we took over about five or six. Mostly on the marketing side and the growth side. Mm-hmm. And also on the IVC engineering side. So like Yerman, Susanna, Aditya, Sirdar, those are all folks that we really liked and we think are excellent and continuing on IVC engineering. And the people that remain at the ICF are primarily in charge of regulatory compliance and being on the ICF board,
which includes funding and all that stuff on that. That's still there.
Funding the ICL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It still is the the pool of funds, right?
Sure. So does the ICL generate revenue? I guess because Skip did. So does the ICL generate revenue? I guess it does.
It can if we wanted to.
Yeah.
That's not really the goal, I would say, is to generate revenue. The goal is to grow the ecosystem, which solves all those questions anyway for us. I mean, we're huge holders of Atom, right? And we're huge holders of other ecosystem tokens. And so generally our strategy is like juice the Cosmos ecosystem as much as fucking possible over the course of 4 years.
Pump the bags of everybody on this podcast, basically.
Basically.
Not necessarily. I don't know what bags you hold. We're
deep in Cosmos, baby. This is...
I don't know Atom, though. So
I mean, that's one goal. That's the financial.
You don't have
goal.
Any Atom?
Mm-mm.
But
that was too late. Maybe now. Now that.
What do you mean? Yeah. So what do you mean you're too late? It's like all time lows ish right now.
Yeah.
Now is the perfect time to buy in.
I met when I first got involved in Cosmos. Atom had already. Cosmos was already, you know, it was already in the 30s and 40s. So I never really got into it. And then frankly, I didn't think it was a token worth buying. At 10 or at 5 or at 6, because I didn't believe the leadership had any clue what the fuck they were doing. And I buy teams. I don't buy tokens, man. So now you're all in. Well, it depends on how this podcast goes.
Remortgage the house.
Depends if I show up on time.
Screw the business personally. Business bankrupt, personally rich. That needs to be the t-shirt, by the way.
I do need to clarify one thing, which is our purpose is not token go up, like only, right? Our purpose is
it shouldn't be.
Our purpose is to basically make this vision of Cosmos a reality. And it was a vision. It is a vision, right? It's a vision of an internet of blockchains, a decentralized internet standard, a decentralized version of TCP/IP, which we call IBC. And to make that a viable option in the world and for history. And we want to do that. We've always wanted to do that. We've tried to do that for years. And this just gives us a much larger platform to do that. And you know, around the time when we were considering this acquisition, we received multiple billion-dollar plus term sheets to start our own ecosystem because we viewed Cosmos as failing. And we turned those away and decided to do a much smaller thing for us personally, I guess, which is the acquisition, because I actually think this could be like the most amazing comeback story in the history of crypto. Like, I genuinely believe that. And we have like a lot going for us, and a lot of the fundamentals are already there for us.
So I'm curious, following off on that, is the plan to make Cosmos the hub again? Like, to have IBC go through the Cosmos at that point?
The idea of the Cosmos hub originally, right, in the Cosmos white paper, was for it to be basically a service provider and a interconnectivity provider for all of the internet of blockchains. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't moved at all since it was first created. And so, of course, it could never be anything, let alone that. It's just been a basic Cosmos SDK chain with a couple random things added on, bells and whistles. And so, like, the first thing is like giving it a real product roadmap to actually become what it was designed to be. And also the realization that actually the hub can be an incredible service offering to chains in the ecosystem. Like, the thinking of, oh, the hub is going to take or control or things like that, that's not the right way of thinking. It's like the hub can accelerate the Cosmos ecosystem, because at the end of the day, like, Cosmos lives and dies by what people perceive Atom to be, right? People come in, they think Atom is the center because of just years and years of brand association, and then they see like Atom is not used for anything, they immediately lose confidence and they leave. And so I think that's important to reestablish. And then on the like routing perspective, turning the Cosmos hub into this router, we need to do that via like services versus enforcement. So we can't change the IBC protocol to mandate this, right? We don't want to do that. That's ridiculous. It's open source. People just change it back. I think what we have to do is what we did with Skip Go, which is essentially build an incredible suite of services that is like next level and next generation that chains like need, absolutely want 10x as their application performance in order to sort of route their flow through the hub.
So is that going to mean a lot of outreach to teams basically then? Because that's going to demand teams to ultimately, rather than on Genesis Day, hey, we're going to set up these channels to Osmosis and Axelar, you're going to be like, hey, I have a better idea. Set up to Cosmos and then route through there, and then you only have one manage. As a relayer, love the idea to manage less. Love it. But I'm curious what the current thought is there.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. The idea of the product is, if you're a chain or you're a sovereign app chain or blockchain, via one single IBC connection to the hub, you get everything. You get all external assets from every single ecosystem, anything you would ever want. You get distribution of your token and assets into every other ecosystem. And all of that happens within 30 seconds. So any token, anywhere, 30 seconds in or out. And all you need is one IBC connection to the hub, and it's completely free, meaning everything is set up for you. All the relayers, all the infrastructure, all the bridge relationships, all the different versions of ETH are combined into one version, all the different versions of Sol. You just don't think about this stuff anymore, right?
I don't know if you described the Cosmos Hub or if you just described Skip Go that existed before you guys were acquired, because that was a bit of the vision of what you guys were building and have built, right? I just used it last night to move a bunch of shit. And like, behind the scenes, I don't give a shit if it goes through the hub or not, right? So So I understand that the IBC web is annoying, but that's an operator issue. That's not necessarily a user issue at some point, if assuming it's working.
Ooh, I would push back really far on that. We manage, I think, over 1,000 channels right now.
You're an operator.
Right. Well, let me extrapolate. When we have an issue, we hear like firestorms, right? And with 1,000 channels, it becomes difficult to manage that.
Yeah.
If I only had to manage all the Cosmos ones, which I think we're on like 35 channels in Cosmos, God, that'd be so nice. God, it'd be so nice. Yeah. Well, I guess let's say 70 then, because they'd be into the Cosmos.
Sure. But this is all about, granted, we're early here, need to grow the ecosystem, need to incubate, blah, 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 blah first, right? That's a given. But the whole premise, I guess my point I'm going to make is that, isn't this all about a failure of economics, right? Or economic design? Because the problem you're describing, Shorty, is a problem, like demonstrably, is why we started running relays and then we stepped back from it, because we saw very, very quickly that our cost and complexity on relays was going to completely was going to dwarf the energy that we put into validation. And even validation is, you know, at the moment, not necessarily profitable in the Cosmos, right? But that's where we are, right? But that's not where we were designed to be. The hope was that this ecosystem, you know, not every chain is going to succeed, right? Not every startup succeeds, but like whatever that percentage is, like 10% of chains or something, would form an ecosystem of projects with value that users want to interact with, and that those associations would pay for themselves, right? It's necessarily a market-based approach, because that's the underpinning economically of most of the crypto economy that was designed into the Cosmos, right? So I suppose my question is, like, I can see why that argument makes a lot of sense from where we are now, but in a sense, isn't that abandoning like, and again, Shorty, tell me that I'm an idiot and say, yes, it is what we're doing, and that's fine, fuck off. But isn't it abandoning a little bit of like the design vision, which was this inter-association that would pay for itself in exchange for ease, right?
It's
an important part of the vision, right? That there isn't a centrality nexus in the ecosystem that's designed in like that. And we've already seen centralizing efforts like Osmosis, right? We've always known as soon as Osmosis came along, it was a centralizing force, right? Some of this stuff is inevitable, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, go ahead, Meg. I'll let you answer.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a really good question, right? And I think something that people have struggled with for a long time, right? Should we be this decentralized? Should we have no leadership? Should we have no central token? Should we have no central chain? should just be what it is, right? And expand naturally. I think the reality is you don't lose, like, there are properties of the interchain that I think you want to keep, and some that I think the reason we were acquired is there's ones that we want to get rid of, mm-hmm. right? We want to get rid of this feeling that there's nothing really driving it forward, right? Who's innovating? Who's building? Like, who's in control? Who's the one managing ecosystem-wide relationships? Who's the one advocating for the ecosystem as a whole? Like, people, I think, didn't have that. And then they started to feel like, well, actually, we really did want that. And we wanted those things because, like, the results show for themselves. So I think the reality as well from how people see Cosmos is they need a home base. They need something that they can associate as the thing initially, especially if they're new. And for everyone that is Atom, like, very few people come in and are like, oh, the home base here is Juno or Osmosis, right? These are great things that people then go on to discover. Usually they start with Atom because, you know, for better or for worse, it's distributed everywhere. It's on every centralized exchange. Mm-hmm. It's cross-listed as Cosmos, you know, and it's so central to the history. And so I think what we realized is, you know, the tech will always stay decentralized and you can always create a direct IBC connection to anyone, right? And you can always do that. Like, sure, do it. Mm-hmm. You can create off on an island and not be IBC connected to anyone and call yourself whatever you want. But when it comes to building an ecosystem, right? Like, an ecosystem is a group of people that and products and builders that have a culture that believe in something, that are pushing it forward, that needs a central point of funding, pushing, development, you know, effort. And in order to do that, you have to have a central point because there's nothing to rally around otherwise. Like, if I'm pushing, you know, Osmosis and you're pushing Juno and someone else is pushing Inisha, like, you're not really going to have a very value something and you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities that are like ecosystem wide, right? And so I think, yeah, we chose Atom because it makes the most sense. It's not like I, you know, had some deep, strange, like, affection towards Atom in the beginning. It's the thing that makes sense. It is the thing that I'm talking about. And the thesis now for this version of the ICF is, well, if you run it in this way, right? If we make Atom extremely central and we make the Cosmos Hub very relevant and very powerful and very attractive, that will actually grow Cosmos at a rate that is significantly faster than what we were trying before.
So I dig the vision for sure. How does that relate to ICS? And what's sticking out in my mind is the Neutron halt, which lasted like 28 hours. ICS right now is a risk factor. And if the Cosmos Hub becomes this central hub of glory, excuse my cynicism there.
Glory hub.
It's a glory hub.
Glory hub.
Glory hub.
You know, I think I've seen that website.
Yeah, I'm sure you have.
Then that risk factor isn't good. Like, you won't reduce risk as much as possible. How does it continue? Should it continue?
No, it should be deleted off of the Cosmos Hub code base, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have this take.
The crowd goes wild. There's thousands of people cheering. You can hear them outside the window. The people have dropped their cars. They're getting out of their cars. They're cheering. They're cheering, Max, 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 Max. It's really
this
going
is what
crazy.
I hear 24/7. Even it's though going no crazy. No one's making any noises.
they're burning an effigy of ICS. It's just like a string of spaghetti bullshit. Like, oh, this is wonderful. Sorry, I might just nip out and go join there.
Yeah. So I have this thesis or this take, I guess, which I think at this point has been pretty well validated, and I feel quite confident in, which is security as a product is a complete failure and a huge red herring. Or like a straw man, meaning it's easy to go down, it's easy to rationalize, but it does not scale and it's proven to not scale. I view this as like the crux of what's destroying Ethereum and has made huge negative impact on Ethereum. I view it as sort of what kept Polkadot in this like languishing mire, despite having a very strong token and being founded by one of the co-founders of ETH. Mm-hmm. Security just doesn't work. you know, I think ICS could have worked for maybe 20 chains tops, but everything about it didn't scale. The validator relationships did not scale. The economics did not scale. The amount of security that the hub had to offer did not scale. The security risks for validators did not scale. If you imagine running like 1,000 ICS chains and some absolute junk one, you know, does something slashable and you're slashed across everything, it's a ridiculous system.
Well, you're taking downside risk for no upside risk, and the security,
right.
the security in the network isn't even increasing because, whatever. The math has been done on this. It's linear. It's linear.
Yeah.
And you can't secure it anyway. You can't secure it with pure money anyway. You can only secure it with social consensus. That's kind of been demonstrated, I guess, economically.
Yeah. And it's just not an exciting product, right? Like, security is not really something users care about that much, at least until they know that after their funds are safe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they care.
They don't care. They don't care until they do care a lot, right?
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you can design systems that are safe. Like, look at Noble. What is the economic security of Noble?
Yeah.
Zero. Right.
Whoa. That's a strong statement. The economic security of Noble is assumed to be very, very strong. Now, that is an assumption. You are right. But okay. the assumption behind Noble, right, is that if there is any foul play, it can be reverted because it's essentially a closed walled garden, right? It's not decentralized in any meaningful form.
Sure, yeah. I think so. So technically, so what I meant to say is I don't think Noble is insecure, but its economic security is zero, right?
Yes.
From the point of Tendermint. Meaning there are no tokens, so there's no economic security. It's not on PSS or ICS.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know a lot of people,
but that's because it's permissioned blockchain.
Well, yeah, but you know, for example, let's say 2/3 of the validator set, you know, decided to go rogue, right? They could like fuck with the chain or do certain things. For example, they could send USDC to an address, which then immediately dumps it for cash somewhere else, or USD. It's very hard to unwind these things, right? Technically, Circle can step in and say, shut it all down, it's over, right? But in practice, that's not really a security system, right?
Well,
but I think it's even the threat of that secures the chain.
Yeah, but I guess it all comes down to probability in the end, right? What is the probability that the validators would be able to do that without and get away with any sum of money that was meaningful enough to validate the desire to do it, to not collapse Noble, to not collapse their business, and actually make out from a centralized exchange? Like, the probability is zero, therefore they're not going to do it. It all comes down to incentives, and actually, like, again, the incentives as a part of the security mechanism is very, very strong in the case of Noble as a result, but that is tied to the fact that it comes down to being a pseudo regulated asset. So it has there's the endogenous network, and then there's this exogenous security that's in this case not economic, but is implied by the presence of Circle and their backers, who happen to be centralized exchanges, right? The one group of people who potentially we need to look the other way for a validator to make away with the sack with the dollar sign on it, right? Or the sack with the USDC sign on it.
I think you can explain all these things, and you know, if it happens, it happens. And I think the reality is Noble is secure, right? I hope people don't take what I said previously out of context.
Sure.
Noble is secure because it has a secure set of trustworthy validators that are known actors, right? And it has an organization watchdogging it, right? And it didn't need hub security to do that, right? That's all to say, I think there are other things the hub can offer that are much more exciting than security.
Mm-hmm.
And I think security was basically the only option the hub had when it was fighting against this minimalist vision, which is don't put anything on the hub, really. Just try to push all that to the sidelines. But I just think it's ridiculous. Like, the minimalism thing is like the biggest, I don't know, it's such a psyop that like we need to get away from.
Yeah. I want to ask some questions before we get to deep in this, these other things. I'm you have to answer these. just curious, and I don't know if you've ever answered these before related to just the act and just kind of all that stuff. Who courted who? How did this start?
Well, I think Barry courted
Matt. I met my girlfriend about
How did this conversation? I'm sure you guys were working together, right? Because ICF, obviously, I mean, you guys are a great team, right? So, so I'm sure that you guys had long relationship and those kind of things. But when did it turn into a, oh, I thought it was Barry showing up behind your head, another. But at some point, somebody said, "Wow, this is, why are we doing this? This is two separate firms, right?" So, did that? How did that conversation happen? And what was kind of, what was there? Was there a turning point or like an event that made that everybody go, "This is stupid. We should be doing something bigger here."
Yeah. So I guess a couple assumptions that you made, I guess, are not fully correct. We had zero relationship with the ICF.
That's how I roll.
Anyone there?
Really? Why the fuck not?
No idea who's there. The only person we sort of knew was there was Ethan Buckman.
Yeah.
That's important for the next part of the story.
Okay.
So Ethan came to the office one day and asked us to be the maintainers of the Cosmos Hub under some contract with the ICF. And okay. We said, absolutely not. Because we didn't want to be the next in line for being the next informal, like these people who
take
all the responsibility and ultimately don't actually have the power to change things at the highest level where things change is needed. And we were on our way out. We were on our way to build our own ecosystem. That's what we were thinking. We had all these ideas of how Cosmos could be better, you know. And as I started to explain that, and I was like, look, man, like this is what we're actually doing. He was like, well, what if you just did that at the ICF? And I said, also, no. There's no chance that's going to happen. You know, we started to talk a little bit more. At some point, I was like, you know what? What if we just send them a proposal for full acquisition where with everything we want, meaning we get full control over this stuff, we have full responsibility, we can make all the decisions we need to make, and like we would just make this thing rip and turn it into a startup again. And we sent that sort of like jokingly, because we thought there was no way that this like old organization would agree to that. And they came back and they said, like, Ethan was like, I support it. Like, I would do this. And then it was very hard. The rest of the board did not support it initially, or it took some convincing.
Yeah,
We had to fly out to meet them. You know, we talked to them extensively. And as we thought about it more and more, we were like, wait, this actually could be really good. We could do a lot with what the ICF has. And everyone was telling us that we were like, we were talking to investors. Everyone's telling us we're so stupid.
Yeah.
Like investor literally got on a call and was like, you guys are retarded. Like this is the worst idea that you've ever had. They thought we were like losing it or something. They were like, why would you ever do this? Like you have an opportunity to build an incredible new ecosystem and you're just going to inherit this horrible slog of a mess. And it kind of, as people did that, I mean, this is a toxic trait of mine. I got more and more excited about the idea. I was kind of like, well, fuck you. Like, we can do this, right? We can do this. Like, we could just rip this thing apart. We could rebuild it into something incredible. We could, like, go completely product focused on the Cosmos ecosystem, figure out what the problems are, attract in the right people, sell a vision, or create a vision, and build it into something amazing. And we eventually won over the rest of the board, and we completed the acquisition probably around December.
Mm-hmm. I think, two things. One, so it was you guys, and which is kind of how I thought that conversation would have gone. Mm-hmm. Knowing the leadership there, and I think just the swirl of, I don't know, I have a real problem with people who are in power with egos, but no ability to deliver anything, or don't have a vision, but don't want to listen to vision. And then kind of, anyway,
I do want to be clear though, at the end of the day, the ICF was great. And there's a lot of people there that were great. Yeah. And especially the board, like I thought it would never be successful. Cause I was like, there's no way that these guys would agree to take these children and like put them in charge of this huge foundation. And eventually they were like, send it, like, let's just do it. And so like, I have huge respect for that shift in perspective.
Yeah. It didn't come across. You didn't have anything but that. And then I think when we've talked in the past too, like, I think,
can you, before you go too far, can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
Have you met much resistance from outside, like the ICF?
Yeah.
Really?
Huge amount of resistance. Yeah.
Interesting. From a validator perspective, like the ICF, I don't want to say they're the enemy, but they were kind of the enemy. And so getting you guys in has felt like more hopeful. And so it's interesting. Was it more users or validators, or where was the resistance from? Other teams?
I would say primarily other teams. I'm not going to name names, but a lot of teams cut off relationships with us after we told them that we want to do this. Because one, they view the existence of Atom as competitive to their token.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, they view themselves as co-opting the narrative of being the Cosmos hub. Mm-hmm. And I think like the last is, you know, we definitely didn't make any friends with our investors, right? We didn't launch a token, right? And so we didn't return some huge multiple. And we try to explain that this is extremely values based, and like this is just not what we want to do with our lives, and like we want to work on this thing. But still, like, I think the expectation was that we could have been a team that built a multi-billion-dollar token. But we made a lot of friends, right, along the way. We made friends, I think, with like a lot of the Atom people. We did also like create enemies ourselves. So, you know, we cut off funding to all of these organizations that were fed on the ICF flow.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So Strangelove, Binary, Confio, for Informal, we just cut this off completely, all the money. And it was in the order of $30 million plus per year. And so that obviously was difficult.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? I mean, it's no different than any other acquisition. If you're using somebody who's a third party to do a specific role, and then you acquire somebody to do that role, those vendors are gone, right? I mean, that's not really, there's nothing surprising about that, or they should be surprised around that. They might be unhappy about it, but like if they would see that acquisition, they would be like, well, that's the end of our relationship here, right? It's time to go find the next one.
Yeah. We just decided that in order to do this right, we just have to in-house everything. Yeah. We need to have Cosmos SDK development, Comet development, Cosmos Hub development, IBC development all happen in one place.
Yeah. I it was weird when this announcement came out. I was both like shocked and then totally like, of course, at the same time, because we've always talked, like, I think one thing over our relationship, one thing that I think I mentioned was like, you guys are such a good development team. You have to diversify in terms of ecosystems. Like, you really need to have, like, and something that we've tried to do, right? What he's tried to do, and others, in terms of saying, I can't have all my eggs in this basket because there's just too much that is out of my own control to know whether that basket's going to be successful or not, right? And I think I said the same thing to you, right? And then that acquisition hit, and the news hit, and we were talking about it in the channel, and I wrote, I had to go search for it. I wrote, those Skip guys are true believers. You got to give them that, right? And I think that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing from you guys, and that's probably not what your investors wanted to hear at Skip. But holy shit, there's no greater, I mean, honestly, if anyone questions this move, you have to look at the cultural aspect of building an organization like Skip and then dedicating it to the ICF. Like, you cannot say, oh, this is like a cash grab, or like they're not going to be in it for the long haul. Bullshit, man. This is like the most, and your investors are right. They're right. but at the same time, you said, you said like, well, they wanted you to build a $30 billion token or blah, blah, blah. This is still an opportunity to do that, right? They're not exclusive. You're just saddling yourself with
it's not an opportunity for the investors, I think, which is what.
No, fuck them. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you're saddling yourself with like just all this baggage to take something that you didn't build and you don't own, and trying to bring it over the goal line.
Guy. Sorry, I just
and
I,
that's
I,
tough. That guy man.
Stretching in the background with his tummy out. It's amazing. Those who are listening back on podcast players later, sorry, you're gonna have to find this. You have to mark this spot in the stream and go find out.
That guy's like 6'8" too.
Anyway, so I mean,
but I mean, to Yusefa's point, like, it is pretty crazy to kind of hear it in those terms, because, you know, there are you know, speaking bluntly, quite a few well-backed teams that have exited the Cosmos at this point, or, you know, there's quite a few kind of zombie chains and whatnot where a lot of the teams have moved on, or core people or whatever. And, you know, for a team like yourselves who are kind of very, in a sense, both, you know, strongly tied to the Cosmos or really strongly aligned to it, but quite lightly tied by kind of a formal necessity to run stuff in perpetuity, let's say, or approaching perpetuity in crypto, which is, I think, about 9 to 12 months plus, right? It's kind of interesting to then tie yourself so strongly to the ecosystem. And it is, I think, it is a very bold move. You know, it shows a lot of belief in your ability to turn the ship.
Yeah. And I think that deserves, I mean, this is not going to happen overnight. And no. I think one of the real issues, I think, in these types of situations is like everybody has an unrealistic timeline in terms of how long it takes to turn things around. And I'm sure you guys have a huge backlog of just technical components of whatever that is. And then the piece that I get concerned about is I don't have a ICL, like, you know, I would invest in that today. ICF, somehow it still concerns me that even in the face of success, maybe ICF just decides to put a bullet in its own foot. And that has happened many different times, where even in success of turning around, maybe it's not exactly in the vision of how they thought it would happen, or like exactly what role it is, or what value it, you know, the chain provides, or what the value the ICF provides. And you get like this internal crap, which is what it's had in the past. So I think I always, you know, I said this somewhere else, but I always believe in, you know, I always take like engineering and intelligence over egos and, you know, fucking politics. But at some point those things also win. So it's going to, I think you guys have my timeline for this is like 2 years, 3 years, right? Like, I think you guys have probably a pretty strong vision, and it's not going to happen overnight, right? It's going to take some time.
No. I mean, just a couple things. Like, so remember when I said we sent over this like list of things that are completely pie in the sky tasks?
Yeah.
We are not going to be removed. It's basically functionally impossible for the ICF to rug us at this point, legally. And also the amount of investment that they put into the ICL already is astronomical, and would basically remove their
sure
entire raison d'etre. So we also had a pretty, you know, we're very aligned with the foundation in terms of choosing its new board members. And the folks that are there right now are the people who greenlighted the acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a relationship with any company and its board, right?
Yeah.
And I think the important thing is that relationship is internal and should not matter. None of this should matter, right? And like, I think when you're evaluating a stock, right, you're not really trying to figure out, oh, well, like, what's the relationship between the founder and the board? It doesn't really matter. I think in this case, because of the history, that like, internal drama has been real. But in every way that I see, the people that were causing internal drama, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
We were extremely strict in terms of keeping and not keeping the people who were down for what we want to do, or they've like completely changed perspective and are working sort of like we've worked at Skip, which is extremely honest and open and transparent and like vision aligned. So generally, I view this as the lowest risk thing in terms of what like the risks are to accomplishing what we want to accomplish. I think there are much higher risk things, right? That are not internal.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you. Yeah. I would agree with that too. Like, cause I mean, obviously those are there, right? Like the outside influences are always bigger than internal, but I appreciate that. Like it does make sense. I mean, that why would there be any pushback associated to vision when you guys are building that vision together and the reason for the acquisition and you know, acquisitions, we've gone through a couple, you know, have usually a pretty solid understanding in terms of what we're trying to achieve. And sometimes it's, you know, people have to also be flexible in understanding that even though you have this vision, that vision will change over time. And also how you get there might be totally different than how everybody, you know, everybody views there's a different way to get to that. But in this case, I mean, there's so much underlying engineering and just delivery here that I think, I always view that overrides the politics and the bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think like, it's sometimes difficult to look externally, I think, because it's easier to view and understand internal problems, right? It's easier to think that the reason for Cosmos not succeeding is drama, or these people at the top that are juicing, you know, the rewards or enriching themselves. And the perception things do matter, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, that's whatever was there, that's all gone now. Like those people are out. You know, yeah. We cut the funding. That is completely gone. It's wiped away. So now it's sort of like, well, now we have to face the honest truths. Like why, if we assume that that's not the case anymore, that we have aligned leadership, we have $400 million treasury, like what are the actual things preventing us from getting to where we want to be? And they start to become a lot more painful, right? Like other ecosystems and what they're doing, you know, the realities of the games that they play to attract developers, the realities of token games that other companies play to juice it. You know, these things start to become a little bit more clear and they're unfortunate. And also where we have to start digging in and really fighting.
Yeah. I mean, new and shiny is always better, right? That's what happened. That's what the space is all about, is you launch the same chain over and over and every time it's slightly better and this is the one, and you know, then next thing you know, you're in the rearview mirror. Right. So especially with the history of Atom, honestly, the Atom would never still exist in any other ecosystem other than the Cosmos, right? Like,
bullish.
Like it would in any other ecosystem, that idea and the token around it and like just the community would be dead.
Well, thank you to you folks for keeping it alive for so long.
Yeah.
Running it every day by your hard labor.
But so to kind of pick up Serp's point there, you know, we are in kind of this, like, you know, industry, this new industry which has no memory and everything is, you know, an eternal now. It's just the latest and the latest and the latest and on and on and on. What, you know, do you think that there are, the answer implicitly to what I'm about to ask is, of course not. But I'm going to ask the question anyway, because that's the format of an interview-based podcast. So I have to ask the question. Excellent. I'm apologizing.
I'm happy to participate.
You have to participate, I'm afraid. And I have to ask you questions. That's even if we all have to suspend disbelief that you might answer differently. But with all of that out of the way, so do you think that the Cosmos stack and the Cosmos Hub specifically can compete on a technical basis with the newer generation of change and things that we're seeing and all the technological, you know, kind of innovation and development that we've seen since the Cosmos Hub debuted? Because, you know, in a very real sense, Tendermint and whatnot haven't changed a huge amount since, I don't know, 2018, 2019, when I first bought Atom, something like that. Like that, when the hub came out, like there have been a number of things that have come out that are new, IBC being one of them, and then the huge explosion of app chains and things. But like underneath all of that, like the core of the software has not had, you know, absolute overwhelming sea changes from the point of view of like what it allows you to do.
So the question is our tech stack still competitive?
Yeah. Is it competitive? And like, what do you think and if so, kind of why, and if not, why, and what do you think we can do about that?
Yeah. So competition is I think, is a multifaceted thing, right? So one of the things that the Cosmos tech stack has is deep level of adoption and a deep history of being safe, right? It's been around for over 5 years. Most crypto projects, you know, their founders barely over 5 years old. Like, you know, it's something that's been deeply adopted by huge ecosystems like Binance, you know, Terra back in the day. You know, like Kronos, like all these different chains. And so it has a level of sophistication that is attractive to new developers, because a lot of these new stacks, they sound shiny, they sound great. One, most of them are not shipped, right? So can you name three consensus protocols that have come out and are widely adopted since Tendermint? No, because there are not any. Right? Can you name three chain development frameworks that have come out since the Cosmos SDK that are widely adopted? No, like there aren't any, right? And like the only thing that has happened on the bridge side, there's no competing interoperable standard. It's all centralized bridges or multi-sig bridges like Wormhole and Axelar and Layer Zero, right? And these things are great tools, but nothing's really been built that competes with these things, right? Because these, I think ecosystems are acutely aware of not falling into the Cosmos trap, which is, well, if we just build all this incredible open source software, how is it going to pump my token, right? Like what if everyone just builds their own thing and it doesn't pump me, right? So you have things like the Hyper SDK from Avalanche, which is licensed and you can only use it if you have like some kind of financial relationship with AVAX, or you build it in the Avalanche ecosystem, right? Or you have, I posted about the other day, like, you know, the Ton blockchain and Telegram's open framework for building mini apps now is restricted to the Ton block. If you have a token there that's not issued on Ton, they delete your app from Telegram. So I think like we still have the only real open source standard for like a decentralized internet of blockchains. And there's no real competitor. Now, are some things faster? Are some things a little bit more expressive in some areas or run better as centralized sequencers, yada, yada? Yes, of course, right? Those things do exist. But I think there's still a contingent of people who actually believe in like wanting to build things in the open and wanting to build an L1, right? I think everyone hates the idea of an L1 stack because everyone who hates it is an L1 themselves and wants to believe that they're one of the few or ideally the only L1. But it's like L1 kind of, there's no value accrual to anything else, right? Infrastructurally, right? You're not dependent on something. You run your own consensus. You have your own infrastructure. You have your own token, your own security, your own gas fees, right? And so I think it's very difficult for an organization to actually spearhead that. And it's even more difficult to build an ecosystem out of that that generates value in some consistent way to some kind of centralized, or not centralized, central, right? Or like common thing. And that's sort of the challenge we're trying to take on.
I guess the thing that I'm hearing and I think is interesting is like I'm hearing like a very, very strong vision for the Cosmos Hub, and I'm hearing like a quite sophisticated thesis, I think, for you know, how it is still relevant in the context of the developments that have come since and whatnot. But I guess the really difficult thing is how you sort of generalize that out into an ecosystem. Because what I think we've talked about it quite a bit on the podcast actually, is that the most recent kind of slew of chains that have been launched using the Cosmos stack have, broadly speaking, not really associated with themselves with the kind of ideology and the other chains in the network, have certainly not branded themselves necessarily as being part of the Cosmos ecosystem. And in some cases have not even opened, you know, IBC channels and whatnot, which is unfortunate, because it kind of talks to your point of saying, oh yeah, you know, we actually are making a strong bet on the tech stack being a solid foundation, but it's making a kind of a similarly strong statement on a perceived inutility of the actual ecosystem. You know, I mean, whether that's because they perceive it as like a threat to them or a drain of liquidity, or whether it's some other thing they don't want to be associated with Cosmos drama, but they're making a statement by choosing to present themselves in the way that they are, you know? And so I do wonder like how hard it would be. I absolutely believe that the ship can be turned on Cosmos. I can take and believe that argument. And I think if any team can do it, you know, fair play. But it is it's going to be a very hard one to generalize, because not only is potentially, yeah, I mean, people who are very invested in the hub might see it as against their interest, number one. Number two, yeah, it's also kind of a little bit beyond your control to some extent, because it's about what all of the other L1s in the Cosmos ecosystem do and what the L1s that are yet to launch do. Do they market themselves as Cosmos? Do they open IBC channels? Because at the moment, some are, some aren't, right? And that says quite a bit, I think, sadly. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reality is I don't blame them and I don't hold any ill will towards them. Like, I don't know, like examples here that come up kind of are like Barachain and a little bit Anisha, sort of in the middle. I don't know what else, like Hyperliquid, which I think just uses Tendermint. But yeah, I think for those things, or for some of those, I get it. Like, why would you associate with Cosmos, right? What do you get as a customer of building something that wanted to be successful, as successful as possible? What do you get by associating with Cosmos, right? Mm-hmm. Do you get any kind of preferential treatment within the stack? Do you get customer service? Do you get a good token to associate yourself with that's going to bring in liquidity and users? Do you get a good infrastructural ecosystem that provides additional utility to your product? The answer to all of those is no, or has been no. Right. What do you get? Right. Like, all you do is you give. You're not getting anything. Right. And what you're giving is maybe legitimacy to Cosmos, which is then, you know, in your opinion, run by these buffoons who like are masquerading as like leaders and not actually doing anything. And there's corruption and all this other stuff. It's like, why would I associate with that? It's interesting to me that despite all of that, people still used IBC and still used the Cosmos tech stack. Because it's incredible. It's so good that they had to, right? Despite all these issues. Mm-hmm. I think our thesis is that generally, if you take that to be true, then it's like, well, what would make these people want to associate with the Cosmos ecosystem, right? Well, they have to get something from that. And so I think that's what we're trying to build up now. We're trying to create the relationship between the hub and these chains as not a value extractive thing, but a value additive thing where we can provide them incredible services that solve their problems so they can focus on their applications, mm-hmm. and not have some narrative of we're over you or restricting you in some way. I think the second thing is we want to make the stack fully accountable to these applications, meaning we'll take their opinion, we'll listen to them if they're customers of ours by having this kind of relationship and association with the ecosystem. And we, to a large degree, will financially support these chains. Like, we will offer liquidity from the ICF. You know, we will co-market with them. You know, we will actually push them and help them be successful and help prioritize building products on top of their tech stack, which we build, that make them more successful. And if after all that people are said, well, still no, fuck you guys, then fuck them. Like, I don't care about them. Like, that's not Cosmos to me. It doesn't matter that they're using the tech stack. If they don't want to have a relationship with the organization and the maintainers of the stack that they're using, that they're inherently building on top of a vision for, that they may reject that vision, which is an internet of blockchains. If they like deny that, I just think that's really weak. And like, I don't really understand why a team would do that. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Again, it's going to take some time. No difference, as I said before, in terms of the time that people are giving ICL to be able to turn that ship around. There's also like just a lot of just not bad blood, but just I don't know how you call it, but like what in that strategy that you just talked about,
there's a lot of water under the bridge.
There's a lot. Okay, that's a good way of saying it. Yeah, it's a very there's British a way of bit. Saying it, but yeah, I like it. but like one of those things I think would be like number one on their strategy as part of that, Mags, would be upstream. Like, look what Bear is doing with Beacon D. Right? Like, that's just purely in the consensus side. Look how much change has happened within Beacon D. Look at Say. Like, Say has completely rewritten that stack, the 300 millisecond block times, everything from state sync to SayDB and the Pebble side to all this shit. None of that is upstream. Like, almost none of that is upstream. Like, and so not only are there these teams taking some of the basis, and then the basis might not be meeting their needs, but then it goes and forks out into something and nobody else is able to take advantage of that. You know what I mean? And it just seems like that's such a wasted opportunity. And I don't know who to blame on that. Like, I don't understand the politics of it well enough to understand if that's in the past, like nobody from the IFCF said, hey, what are you guys doing with this? And like, can we learn from this? And can we be inclusive around it? Cause everything I've always seen in those like SDK GitHubs are always like a bunch of fucking no's. Like, somebody puts a PR in there and then they shit all over it. And then somebody puts another PR and they shit all over it. Like, it doesn't meet this vision that we don't even fucking have, that doesn't make any sense, and we're not interested in improving it because we built this ivory tower type of shit. At least that's what it comes across as. And it seems like there's not only do you have some development work to do, I think, on the SDK, but I think there's so much that people have already done that would be great to be able to bring back in. And that might be a branch to say, hey, how do we take some of this great work and like now make this available to everybody? I was just talking to the same team because we ran this issue on a couple chains around max gas per block, not to make it too specific, but like Cosmos issue, like there's a huge issue with max gas per block, which means if the gas price is low enough, people just set the wanted to the whole fucking block size, which means they take one transaction for the whole fucking block. And then the mempool grows like fucking crazy because you can't get any transactions there. And there's no way to stop that. Zero. Like you could do some minimum transactions per block thing, or you could do something else, but there's no way to stop it. You could just fucking overflow the gas. You pay 8 cents. Who gives a shit? And then you're just running one transaction every 6 seconds or whatever the hell it is. We had this issue on a mint recently. We had this issue on another chain that runs really fast. And a good example of that would be like funding something that allows us to do what's it called when the proposer basically a simulation, right? Do a gas simulation like Ethereum, right? And just fill the gas based off of what the actuals are, not this fucking wanted thing. That would be an amazing thing that teams, I think, are already building, that the ICF could say, let's pull that in and make it something that makes every chain better in an SDK version. And I think that idea, like it's always been like, oh, the ICF built something and now we're stuck sucking down this SDK change, or, you know, we got to make our change, or we're going to fork it, or we're going to do whatever. It seems like it's so fragmented now that like nobody gives a shit. And so that seems like a real opportunity to be a leader in that side again.
This stuff was a fucking nightmare when I was working in Juno. Like just the maintaining, like the combination of like upstream changes and also Juno being early as the WASM chain. As the WASM chain.
Right, right.
And just the number of fucking, I mean, we obviously had like the two cyber attacks, but
yeah.
And so that was a whole other thing.
But how many times did they say no?
It was just, I stopped asking very, very quickly. I stopped asking.
Yeah, I think that's what happens, right? You just kind of.
We just had continually sinking forks. We had some private repos and we had some public repos, and we were sinking forks left, right, and center to make sure that we could cover off problems if we needed to cover them off pretty quickly. And that was like, that was the experience of upstream development in 2021, 2022, you know?
I do remember
and it was such a burning out. Like it was genuinely one of the most exhausting experiences I've had as a developer. And my involvement, you know, bear in mind, in that was overwhelmingly just maintainership of the code base of Juno. Like the majority of my actual development work was in Rust, in WASM, right? In COSM WASM. And, you know, I still don't say I'm really a Go developer or a core developer, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the SDK that I still don't understand to this day, because it's, in my opinion, quite a complicated code base. But it was like, for what I was trying to do, which is just keep stuff stable and fix bugs and give us the tiny amount of configuration and additional changes we needed, it was such an uphill battle. And like compared to almost any other development gig I've done, it was crazy. And I was just like, oh
yeah,
yeah, may, if you can make that, if like you say, if you can not only make that easier, but if you can also upstream some of the changes that other teams have made that are, you know, quality of life changes that are mitigating these kind of edge case bugs that we see out in the wild, like that would be wild. That would be great.
Or find a way to incentivize those teams for upstream, right? Like, or find a way. I mean, not to a point of, obviously teams are going to build stuff as a strategic advantage. I totally understand.
But also, you're talking about the ecosystem, right? I am not the only developer that's walked away from Cosmos as a developer, right?
Sure.
There are plenty out there. And you know,
I mean, out of the three of us here, two have, because I did as well.
Exactly, right? And I know of others, right? And I think that's the interesting thing, is that there were at one point a lot more developers in the ecosystem, a lot more than there are now. And I know there's still a lot of chains with active development and yada, yada, yada. And I'm maybe bringing it a bit warm, you know, but, you know, it feels like the first step is, if you can bring some of those people back, find out what pushed them away and bring them back, then that was, you know, that would be a bullish sign, as I believe the kids say, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to spend time, I think, talking to developers and like begging them.
Yeah.
I think we just have to show strength.
Yeah, and, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I come at this from a very realistic perspective, which is either you're an ally and I will ride with you and support you as much as I can and loop you into things and have you be a part of this, or you're not. And that's fine. But like, I have basically no time for people who are like, oh, maybe it's like, there are a lot of people who are still very excited. Right. And either newer and they don't have that baggage, or, are still excited about the vision and want to make it work. And like, I'm sort of one of those people too. I mean, I had a fucking hard time too developing in Cosmos. Our company did, right? Integrating with all these different chains that are constantly shifting, trying to work with the SDK team and the informal team, understanding what's coming out, boat extensions not working, us having to fix all of it in order for Slinky to work. Like, these things are difficult. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make them easier, right? Like, I think we're going to be significantly more responsive. We already are that. We have been that for everyone, for you folks as well. I think as validators, we want, that's in our DNA. We want to be that. I think it's really finding the developers that truly believe and want to be a part of it, and trying to make their lives as simple as possible. I think when it comes to like external contributions, it's a tricky one. We are working on some external contributions now. We're working with the Injective and Kronos teams on their EVM implementation, mm-hmm. which is excellent. We're working with Osmosis on their Tendermint fixes. And there's a couple others. I think we're working with Say on some things as well, actually.
Good.
These things generally, they're either complicated by the fact that they are competitive, meaning that the chains want them to be their chains things.
Yep.
And they don't want them to be upstream. But sometimes when they do, it's either like specific to a certain infrastructure or doesn't serve the overall needs of all the Cosmos chains. It's just like a case by case basis. But I think the perception is valid, right? The perception that previously these repositories were extremely closed off and elitist in terms of who is allowed to contribute, that we want to change. And I think we can change that now.
I don't know if that was perception, at least in the past. Now, I understand what you're saying about going.
I'm saying at least the perception.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it was true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we had a little bit of an easier time getting some changes in, but it was still challenging for sure.
Sure. And honestly, all that's based on relationship, right? And even teams saying they want to, it's a competitive advantage. We want to push X, Y, or Z. At some point, either there's compensation towards that, or there's a portion of that you could say, hey, this is something that we need to do as an ecosystem, because rising tide and all that kind of bullshit, right? It's not bullshit. I'm just using it as a phrase, but it's a true statement. Like, meaning we bring more, it's going to help, because the more eyeballs we have in Cosmos and the more eyeballs that we have in this, then, we get more visibility to more opportunities and different types of use cases and all that kind of shit. So
yeah.
I think that's a bit of a 2022 attitude towards Cosmos, but I do think there's still some validity there, that doesn't have to revolve around ICS and all that kind of stuff. Right. Like that they are working off a code base, and the SDK coming out of the ICL can be far more valuable as a default than what it is. Like, we dealt with this on a chain that's getting ready to go mainnet here, where, the team thought it was, hey, it's plug and play. We just go grab it and we shove it out there. And Schultze and I are on this one. And then they realized they had 4,000 nodes in the network and it wasn't making any blocks and the peering was awful. And the gas is all fucked up and nobody knows what, like, everybody's struggling with everything. Like there's a ton there in terms of, like, you can't launch a blockchain with it, I think, out of the gate, the way it runs, like the way it comes. Like, there's a tremendous amount of knowledge and time and effort that comes in there that I think could be raised. I think that could be better for a new team who's entering and wanting to be able to use that tool set.
Yeah. So it's a lot of educational points that I think we also need to work on. DevRel, information, like communicating how these things work. Like, that has been pretty much abandoned. We want to restart that. We want to restart that internally, and then also sort of like bring in other teams to help out with that.
I couldn't think of a better team for this to happen with. I really couldn't. It really couldn't. So if you're not getting what you need from the ICF, you got to make us think about it. And then we all come and say, hey, these guys should get 200 million out of that 400 to go make this happen in the next year. Because what do you got? A 2 or 3 year window here, and then everybody stops giving a shit. Maybe, and who knows? It could be tomorrow, right? But it's not forever. I know that. So I believe you. I understand what you're saying. I hope that they look at this as saying, hey, we only have so many bullets in the gun to make this thing work. And so let's not be cheap on it and let's do it the right way. And you guys grow a team and take on enough, and you guys are able to manage enough to do some of these things. Cause I think it's important. Hey, Barry, all right, you're live. What's that shirt? What's that hat say? What does that hat say?
Hold on. Let me get the hat.
Oh yeah. You don't have the hat on.
Make Adam great again. Oh my God.
I've got the red too. You guys gotta get these.
Holy shit. Is that, dude, wait, get it.
How do I turn this shit off? Yeah.
Yeah, how do you turn that shit off? Just put it in front of your face. It'll probably work better for your face. There you go. Oh my God. Look at that.
They're great.
The Make Adam Great Again hat. Holy shit. That is. Where can we buy those?
You don't buy them.
Ah, see, you already fucked it up. What are you doing?
You contribute to the Cosmos ecosystem as you have been.
Oh,
so it's right, we mug you at a conference. We take your hat. Got you. Right. Cool.
I will bring hats for you folks. Freya, I feel like I never do. I see you at conferences. I feel like I always see Schultzy and Rhino.
I don't come stateside because I have small humans.
Small.
So I'm gonna be at Paris.
I have a children's side for the children's sides for them too.
Are you going?
Do you really?
I have ones for little babies that they can put on. You know,
yeah, onesies. You need onesies too.
Usurper does a good trade in Game of Nodes onesies for small children.
I do. Hopefully, you guys stop having kids because it's getting expensive.
Yeah.
Are you going to Denver? By the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see you there if you're there.
Yep, see you there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the one thing I do want to say is, you know, there's a reason you guys are here, right? At some point, there was a reason, right? Whether that reason was a long time ago. And
at some point, there was a reason. And wait, now the hostage takers are just slightly out of shot.
Right.
Stockholm syndrome over here. So
just there. We don't speak about the men with the guns.
Here, Cosmos validators? Here, Cosmos help? Yeah, okay.
In Cosmos, right. Running this podcast. Interested in Skip, trying to help us out throughout our time, you know, wanting these things to succeed. And of course, it's a combination probably of emotional, financial, professional reasons. But there's some kind of investment, right? And I think there's still a lot of that. And
there is.
What I'm really trying to do is expand that to other folks, right? And find other people who are excited about it. And I think what that is at the end of the day is like Cosmos needs to stand for something, because it can't just stand for a shitty ecosystem that should be successful. That's the only way to solve that is to be successful, right? Like the goal can't be to be successful. The goal has to be a mission, because people only join unsuccessful things if they have a mission they believe in, right? Or they just join successful things that have no mission, like Solana, right? And I think that's what like we really need to create. And like, it just starts one person by one person, like you folks, me, whoever else, finding some infrastructure guy and being like, hey, check this out. They get interested. They start to build tooling. Like all of that is just like the little pieces that add up to us being successful and accomplishing this mission.
But I guess we always do come back around to Usurper's point, right? Which is that it's got to be use cases first. And I respect, you know, you're talking about product vision, you're talking about like product focus and all that kind of stuff. Like 100%, that's one of the things that's been missing all this time. It's been one of the things that's consistently missing for Cosmos ecosystem chains in general, I think, actually. Like there's very, very few that have had really strong product vision. Like we've talked a lot about Stargaze, right, on the podcast, because they consistently, at least in the early days, had that. Don't know how much of it is currently there. I mean, Usurper might have a better idea. I'm less close to that project now. But hey,
yeah,
you know, it's good to hear it coming out. And like I hope if anything, that attitude can spread to new chains that are coming out, because like, you know, how do you create success? Well, you need something that people want, right? You need product market fit. And, you know, we've tried 1,000 different types of derivatives and that hasn't worked out so well. So somebody's going to have to come up with a product for these consensus engines.
Yeah. I think like generally the I don't know. I think we could try to take a, like, for example, we could stop everything, right? And just take 20 shots on goal, each a different product that we try to make into a successful app, right? Because we can build apps, right? Like as mm-hmm. as ICL, sure.
Sure can.
You know, maybe we build a high yield stable coin, right? Ideally not of the kind that has preceded us. Maybe we try some kind of interesting new perps platform, some, you know, wallet redesign or some UX redesign. I generally feel like that is not the best way. Like I don't view our jobs necessarily as that. I view it as really sort of setting this bedrock of a vision and a way place that we're all going, that people want to go, or at least it's divisive, meaning people can say, I don't want to be on that train and get the fuck out of the way, or they can be all in. Right. That's really my goal, because then we have people who are bought in who will create those things. But I think like the I just saw that Mel said, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it. Like it's over. Is it over?
OK, we're close.
OK, yeah, I think. OK, so it's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think like that's really where you start. Right. There's a great analysis of this called a protocol market fit that I highly recommend reading. It talks about, you know, Ethereum had no use cases, right? It was a vision and people bought into that vision and built it out of nothing, right? It wasn't Vitalik. He did barely did anything, right? He invented some protocol and like, you know, ERPs. And like, I want that for Cosmos. That is really what I think is missing right now. And what does Cosmos stand for? What is that? If Cosmos was massively successful, like what would the world look like the most successful it ever could be? Like what would the world look like? And like, is that something that you want to dedicate your career to? Right. If not, what are we doing?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty simple, right? Isn't it that Cosmos is the, so fuck all of everything. Sorry, I'm not a Go developer either. So fuck the Go programming language. I don't like it. I'm sorry, everybody. But the point that, what does Cosmos stand for? It stands for an actually federated central architecture. That's it. It's the only player in town. Like you say, it's the only one in production that's stood the test of time. It's the only one that seems like it has legs. It's the only one that, regardless of incentivization and whatever, and teams feeling like they're poaching each other or whatever, people connect to each other by IVC and the shit kind of keeps trucking, right? We haven't figured out the economics of it, but it's the only game in town that, like you say, has a TCP IP like quality that is not based on decentralized. So it's not based on centralized bridges and is actually widely deployed. There are other options, sure, but IBC is currently the only one that you would really look at and say that is proven, that right there. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Bullish. And if we can get everyone in the ecosystem to repeat just what you said in their own words of what that means, like we'd already be in a much better place.
Because like, you know, it comes back down to like, what is decentralization, or, you know, to your point, Mac, right? What is the point? What is the bit of decentralization that matters? Cause you're talking about like hub routing and stuff. And you're like this bit of decentralization is not the bit that I give a shit about. Like there are other things that are more important, and you know, security and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, you know, what's the bit of decentralization that actually matters? And what is the meaning of decentralization? Decentralization of what? Decentralization of what is the question we never ask enough, right? And it's like, you know, if you're talking about the right to associate or not associate or be sovereign or not, you know, over decision making, right? And because these are consensus engines, they're all about on some level automated decision making. Again, maybe the federated model is as decentralized as you can get. Maybe that's the functional limit of an actually functional distributed architecture, right? Where people do have control over decisions and stuff that does relate to things that they are invested in, right? These are just giant cooperatives. They're just giant membership organizations, effectively, for stakers. Fine. If that's the functional limit of this software, then again, you know, we don't know that from the theory yet, but that puts IBC in a great position, and it puts a lot of the other solutions out there looking a bit shabby. The rest of it, I don't know, but I know that still in my bitter, twisted heart, I'm very bullish on the design of IBC and the ideal behind it. And I think that is kind of what, that's supposed to be the point of Cosmos, I think. I think that's what the one thing we have figured out about Cosmos, right? That we can agree on, maybe.
Yeah, it's almost like if you took away all the tech today, it's like my last rant. If you took away everything, right? Let's say we deleted all the code, everything, deleted the ICF, right? We deleted all the applications, Osmosis, it's all gone. It's just us, right? Like, would you rebuild Cosmos? Like, would you want to rebuild the vision of Cosmos again, right? Like, is it strong enough and you believe in it enough that it should exist in the world, right? This concept of an open internet, right? Or an internet of blockchains, which is another way of saying the open internet, in my opinion, where things are app chains, right? They're their own sovereign, fully self-owned economic systems that are all interoperable seamlessly with each other, right? And it's all user-owned and governed by users and completely censorship resistant. You can't shut it down. Like, would you want to rebuild that, right? And I think like the answer for me is like, yes, that is the only thing I would want to build, actually, if I was building in blockchain. And so like, yeah, like that's what gets me excited, right? And I want people around who like feel the same way.
I'm so fucking pissed I didn't come up with the idea for that hat. I gotta get rid of this whole validator thing. It would have paid for like fucking 4 years. Like it could be, it's like, it's both on point and it can also be sarcastic if you want to be sarcastic. It's just, it's like such niche. God damn it. Yeah.
It's caused problems with my social life, but
that's part of the beauty.
Well, you can't have that hat, but you can put Rama's comment on the hat, because as we all know,
this is a bankrupt.
If somebody comments in your YouTube, you own the intellectual property. That's how that works. I am a copyright lawyer. Don't look it up.
Megs, any final things you want to, any final note?
Make Adam great.